It's the end. It's the news, according to me. Friday. Hey, we're having a show. It's Friday. It's June 20th, 8:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I could have had a show out a little earlier had we not had this. Just the schedule is kind of weird today. Needless to say, for those of you who haven't heard the show, this is your first time hearing the show. I have had the last 6 weeks off. And so this has been a kind of I'm easing back into work today. They put me on a schedule today. I don't actually have to be. I have to be in Chicago. It's the only problem. I can't just be on call. I was hoping I would just be on call, but I got to go to Chicago. All the way in to Chicago. And I have to go. It's about a 2-hour drive, 2 hours, 10 minutes, just driving alone. Of course, that's in a normal vehicle going 80 miles an hour. I've got my truck today, which goes about 60 miles an hour. Because I can't get it to shift into overdrive for some reason. I don't know what's going on with it. It's the automatic transmission is not automating. So, henceforth, I will be, I've changed a couple sensors. I haven't changed the crankshaft position sensor, which I think that's what the issue is. Either that or the wires broke on it. So I just one of those two things. I don't know. I'm not going to get into all that, but I already have. Yes, but it is Friday, June 20th. And for the next few days, Monday, Tuesday, it's kind of sketchy on whether there will be a show. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday of next week, pretty sure there will be a show every day next week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. But Monday, Tuesday, who knows? I have no idea. It's very possible that there will be, but it's not, it's plausible. I guess not. I don't know. Who knows? But anyway, Shabbat Shalom, everyone. It is, as we enter into the weekend here, lots of things going on. Lots of things going on in my cup. I have my Almond Joy Creamer in my chai. I should write a song about that. I stopped writing songs. I was doing little songs for the show for a while. I don't know if I can find any of these or not. Let's see, what do we got on here? We got... let's play some of these. See, yeah, that's not the one. I think. Let's see what we got here. Good morning, trombones, pauses. I think it's on here somewhere. I've got some on a cart. Here's see what this one is.
Come on. I'll need an
effective strategy. Oh yeah, this is one of those.
To mobilize through international depression.
This is a song I wrote with Joe Biden.
Depression.
Man, China is going to eat our lunch.
Yeah. There you go. It's this is
not a joke. By the way, all you teachers out there, not that many of you.
Just another one.
So don't worry about it. Come on.
This is kind of our theme song here at the news.
It's the news. According to me, oh, it's the news. According to me, oh, it's the news.
Anyway, that gives you an idea of what's going on here. We got that kind of stuff. And it's, of course, it's my creativity in action. We have, it's, I don't do that stuff anymore. Now, in my backup cup, by the way, I have a backup cup here. And my backup cup has, it's homemade sweet tea with peaches in it. So it's peach, homemade sweet peach tea. Fresh cut slices of peaches. It's peachy. It's right at that point where the peaches are at the point where they're starting to sink, but they're not sunk to the bottom yet. So it's right at the point where the flavor in the peaches, in my opinion, is just about at peak flavor. The peaches are basically suspended right now. So that means that they're kind of equilibriumed with the tea itself. They're all in one accord, as it were, within the tea. So it's kind of when you get the best peachy flavor. Now it gets better. It does get a little stronger as the time goes. But it's not a phony peach tea. It's actually real peach flavor. So it's not, it doesn't give you that phony kind of strong phony flavor. Anyway, it is very good tea nonetheless. And I have beside me, my trusty little dog, he's taking a nap. He had quite the workout this morning. We already went for a walk, so he's Anyway, he had his backpack on. He carries a little 10-pound backpack sometimes when it's cool enough out. This morning it was cool enough, so he got to do that. Now, our basement gets very cold down here. In fact, I thought it was going to be colder than it was today, this morning, and I actually put on my little sweat jacket. I'm taking it off because it's way too warm down here. It's for me. Of course, now I've already been out walking a couple miles, but it's that's what this show is all about. Me and my life. Now we're going to talk about the news and what I think about the news. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm just a guy with a lot of opinions, and I'd like to know what your opinion is of what my opinion is. Just, I don't want you to know what you think about the news, but I want you to know what you think about what I think about the news. So you can call the show if you want to and leave a message or a text message, either one, if you have questions or comments. And this is a new thing we're doing. It's 812-379-8778. Call now and receive a free nothing. You get a free box of nothing. No, you don't even get the box. You just get nothing. It's like a nothing box with nothing in it, much like the government does with their programs. It'll cost you a lot more, though, from them. It won't cost you anything from here. There's no advertisements. There's no, this is all, you know, paid for. It's brought to you by your sponsor is me. I'm your sponsor this morning. That's who sponsors the show. And I just do it for the love of all things sanity. I just have to talk to some, you know, I have to talk and make them and pretend like somebody's listening. Surprisingly, listenership yesterday on the show, it was double. It was actually a little more than twice what we usually see in listenership. So I'm not sure what happened there. Just on the show that I did yesterday. Now, yesterday, the day before the show apparently didn't get posted. I posted it again yesterday before yesterday's show. So Wednesday's show apparently didn't get posted until Thursday morning. That has nothing to do with it. Maybe it did. Maybe people you know caught the one show and then got the other show. And the fact that I put two shows out, maybe more people watched yesterday's or listened to yesterday's show. Now that I'm back to work again, I don't know. So I didn't really get things dialed in for doing the live video broadcast of the podcast. I might be able to do that once a week. The problem is once I get back on a schedule like I am now, the schedule is so erratic sometimes. I know what days I'm off, but I don't know what times I have to actually to work with in terms of my day schedule. Whether I have early morning, late morning, early evening, whatever it is, I never know. What I may have to start doing is doing a show the night before. I hate doing that because I like doing the news in the now as it's really happening. And the only delay you get is the delay in posting the show afterwards, which is usually about a half an hour. So it keeps you up to date on all the news that's happening. If anything happened overnight, and a lot of these guys, they produce their shows 2 days ahead of time. And they're talking about stuff that's already happened a couple days before. And it's like the news cycle moves so fast that I don't see how they get away with that, but they do. I mean, it works because most people are so out of touch that they don't even know, you know, it's happening anyway. Nobody, and rightly so. I don't put it on anybody to say that you got to be on top of whatever. That's you know, leave it to people like me, who just kind of have a penchant for that kind of thing. Because really you can get pretty bogged down and get pretty negative. If you start looking at things too much, some people get, you have to kind of develop your taste buds and your temperament for it. Because it becomes something that, you know, when you start listening to the news too much, you start focusing on some things. You can become obsessed. Just go onto Facebook and look at somebody who's has Trump derangement syndrome. They are, first of all, you have no self awareness whatsoever. You have no ability to process the information you're looking at. You have no ability to look at the information and be critical of it. When I hear something from even some of my favorite senators or congressmen, people that I trust and respect. I still, every time they say something, I kind of look at it kind of, you know, okay, is he being hoodwinked? I don't, most of the time, I don't think that individual is deliberately being hoodwinked. I don't think they're wanting to set out to hoodwink anybody or to pull the wool over anybody's eyes or give you disinformation. But they've been given bad information. They pass it on. This happens so much with leftists on social media. And I think that process of that is very, very disturbing, first of all, but it's also very damaging for that individual because they continue to roll down this track and people will feed them with information all day long. In fact, once you start digging that hole, the algorithms start feeding it for you. You start getting more and more information. You start seeing more things. And you start looking for it. You're kind of like, have you ever bought a car, for instance? This happens to people. They'll see a car they really like it. They'll see like a little red car it's a Chevy whatever. And they go and they buy the Chevy whatever. And then they start seeing Chevy whatevers everywhere and little red ones. Everybody's got red cars and everybody's got little Chevy red whatevers. It's this weird thing. You start seeing them more and more. I didn't notice how many Jeeps there were out there until I bought one and I had to, throw my shoulder out, waving it all. Every time I pull up to a corner, there's a Jeep there. And I'm not talking Wrangler. Now, I'm just talking Wranglers. When you start getting into Gladiators are pretty similar and you're supposed to wave at those too. But then you start getting into the Liberties and the Freedoms and all the other stuff. They have a lot of other Jeeps out there that are little SUVs. And they're not real Jeeps, by the way. Don't let them say it. Don't let them tell you I said that. But it's, if you got a Patriot or whatever you got, it's okay. It's a Jeep, but it's, I'm not going to wave at you unless I know you. And I don't know why I would know you if you don't have a real Jeep. The process, though, is this whole thing of you start noticing that everybody, I never noticed before that everybody has Jeeps. And you drive down the road and everybody's got a Jeep in their driveway. What is going on with this? Everybody got one because I have one now? Is that what's going on? No, I don't think so. But it's just weird how you notice that kind of thing. When you are in this Trump derangement syndrome mode, you will start noticing everything that everybody's posting and saying about. You think everybody's on your team. You think you're in the silo. You're really in a bubble. And what's sad about that is that you don't notice it. And you go down this road because you have no self-awareness. You have no you have no introspect. You have no ability to process this information. You're just rattling off everything. And you don't realize after a while, 99% of what you post is all about political crap. And there's something wrong with that. I'm not saying it's morally wrong. I'm not saying you're an evil individual for doing it. All I'm saying is you need to go stop it. Get some help. Michael Jordan did a commercial a long time ago back when he was first getting really popular. He did this drug situation or whatever. Whatever, he was doing something about anti-drug commercial or whatever he did. It's a meme now. You'll see him. They'll post it all the time. It's, stop it. Get some help. I'm going to see if I can find it here. Michael Jordan. Stop it. Yeah, there it is. Here it is. This is it. I'm going to play this because it is so. This is the whole commercial. All I want is the 5 seconds here. Apparently, it's a 5-second
deal. I'm Michael Jordan. Stop it. Get some help.
It's pretty funny. That's the whole thing right there. Now, this is the whole commercial. Let's play the whole thing and see what it is. I think this is actually a McDonald's thing.
I'm Michael Jordan. McDonald's restaurants have given me this time to talk to you about something we both really care about, kids.
Now, this guy is
kids
young.
Kids are the reason McDonald's sponsors their Get It Straight program.
I'm not sure he's even 30 years old in this commercial.
A national drug awareness effort. Think about this. Many of you using drugs out there now are under 18. Do you realize that at 18, you have lived only 1/4 of your life? When you're using drugs, you're only cheating yourself out of the chance to find out who you really can be.
That's
and believe
sure.
me, if you don't use drugs, you can just about be anything you want to be. Listen.
Except for Michael.
You got
he
at
can't
least 3/4
Jordan.
Of your life to go. That's 3 more lifetimes to you. So don't blow it. Don't do drugs. If you're doing it, stop it. Get some help. McDonald's wants you to get yourself a chance.
There's the famous stop it, get some help thing. That's you'll hear that all the time. And I should put that on a card, actually. But everybody uses it, and I probably would just be, you know. There's some weird videos that pop up when you do this kind of thing. The process of making friends with a tiny spider. Day 8. This is what some people are doing. Yeah, okay. So we have that's a content creator for you there, and he's probably got let's see how many views this guy's got. 790,000 views. And he posted it 12 days ago. So that's just to give you an idea of the kind of content that people really seek out and watch. Yeah. So I have a few things in the news that are happening that I'll comment on. Stop it. Get some help. So all I'm saying is just, you know, have some perspectives. Take a step back. If you're caught up in this whole thing you can't walk away. You can't disengage. That's the problem. If you can get engaged with this stuff and you can really get, you know, down and with it and kind of dig into this stuff and then disengage from it to do something else that's totally has, you know, that takes your mind. If you can completely take your mind off of it, not that you even have to do something else to take your mind off of it, just that you can actually choose to disengage from all the political stuff that's going on. That's a very healthy thing to do because you'll have a better perspective when you come back to it. You'll realize, hey, this is just, you know, President Trump doesn't affect my everyday life right now. Now, if they can take the tax off tips, that might affect a lot of people's lives. Very few things like that will actually affect your everyday, day-to-day life. Of course, now the whole thing is, you know, people will find loopholes around that and say, I pay my workers, you know, minimum wage and everything else is a tip. Fine, whatever. Adam Carolla had a really good perspective on this. It was kind of interesting how he perceived the whole thing of, you know, maybe, you know, what do we value in society? Firemen, police officers, teachers, the people who really, you know, create the community that we live in. The ones who, or at least who stabilize and keep us, you know, they have some of the most important jobs in our community. That physically, you know, get involved in domestic issues. And you know, paramedics, doctors, well, doctors, whatever. But the, not people pooping doctors, I'm just saying, the whole point of my whole thing here is about taxes. Now, doctors make good money. Typically they do. Now, if they're doing public service in some kind of a clinic, whatever, why not take, you know, why not say, okay, for you people, we're not going to give you, you don't have to pay income tax. We value that so much that we're not going to charge you. We're not going to take from you anything else. We think that you should get the best pay possible. And that on top of that, we're not going to tax you more because you're making more money. That seems to be a pretty, what are we saying here? That the people who, so I don't know, just some of those kinds of things kind of make sense to me. You'll probably end up with more people wanting to be, you know, public servants like that, like firemen and teachers and police officers. I don't know. Does it make sense? It makes sense. I don't know. Or maybe pay half tax or get a 50% break on your tax, whatever it is. Because of the, it's called the, on behalf of a grateful country or whatever, we're giving you this gift back. You know, we're not going to charge you as much for taxes. We're not penalizing you for doing what you do. But then again, don't get me started on income tax, because I think income tax and property tax, in my opinion, those two things are basically immoral, and they shouldn't be happening. Shouldn't happen. I just think it's property tax, in my opinion, is immoral as well. But that's just my humble opinion. Still pay them. Income tax, in my opinion, is a tax on your life, which I think you have the right to life. You shouldn't be taxed just for living.
Oh, but it's still your tax on your increase.
No, it's not. It's not necessarily increase. You're taxed on, you know, being taxed for the life that you traded for. I'm going to trade 8 hours of my day for this pay. So it's 8 hours of my life I'm trading for that. So that's why are you taxing that? I've given up something for that. It's the whole. By the way, I'm not going to get into it. But the whole income tax thing is based on a lie, anyway. In terms of constitutional authority, it's based on if you follow the statute back, it goes back to the root of people who create, transport, produce, or distribute alcohol, tobacco, or firearms. It has nothing to do with your everyday worker. It only is derived from the income from those things. When you follow the statute back, and it's even most accountants will not realize that or agree with that or tell you you're a crazy guy if you say it, but do it. Yeah, I've followed it back. There was a guy who was a police officer who stepped into this whole thing at one point. Kind of got in trouble at one point because he started doing some other stuff on the side. But he was filing these reports, and basically he had to go down every year and file all kinds of stuff. And he would go into the IRS agent, and he would tell him, show me the statute, show me where we're going. They would follow it all the way back, and every time he would take him back to this whole thing, and they would realize that he was actually Samuel L. Jackson. Oh, no, it wasn't Samuel L. Jackson. It was the other guy. And I'm thinking of anyway, he got involved with this guy, and they he ended up messing up because he was doing this thing with checks, because there's also this weird rule about checking and the banking system, and they found a loophole there, and they were trying to exploit that. Unfortunately, you don't do that. It's just because you sign an agreement with a bank, and you agree to this whole thing. You can't just start writing checks. It was a weird deal where they were writing these checks out, and they claimed that there was this loophole, and they got in trouble for that. They didn't get in trouble for the tax thing. They got in trouble for the checking thing. And so anyway, big things happening. We don't know what they are yet. So supposedly Donald Trump left the G7. I don't know. Gavin Newsom. Gavin Newsom comes out, talks real tough, starts cussing, saying that he's in charge, and he's going to have Donald Trump, you know, tomorrow by noon, high noon tomorrow, Donald Trump's going to be, you know, he's going to be answering to me. He's going to be apologizing to me. Of course, then it comes and goes, and the court rules that he's wrong, that Trump does have the authority to federalize troops. And Gavin Newsom just forgets the fact that he ever said anything about it. Moves on to the next thing. And this is typical of leftists when they're wrong. They ignore it and keep on going. They say the next hyperbolic thing until they say something that's right. And then guess what? They go all over that. They're all over that. As if there's somehow, so Trump celebrates big win over Gavin Newsom with the latest court ruling is one of the headlines right now. It is a big win. Because Gavin now looks like an idiot, and he's time and time again, this guy, you know, he can talk. He's a very slick talker. And I've always said he's like a used car salesman. His mother was a used car salesman, and his father was a televangelist. He's that kind of person. And I don't get the hair thing. I don't understand that. It's like slicked back, straight back. That's his look. And I still think that it's the creepiest. You know, a lot of these people you see face on television all the time. And they look kind of normal face on. If you don't think about it, that's the way they look face on. When you look at them from the side, it is the creepiest, weirdest looking thing. You would not recognize them. I've seen famous people, I think the most recent person I've seen, probably the most known face, was Eric Swalwell. I didn't walk behind him, by the way. I wouldn't do that. But I saw him. He was walking past me, and it was the weirdest thing, because I recognized him as he was walking towards me. I was like, "Oh, that's Eric Swalwell." He looked very much porkier. Let's say he didn't have the. I don't know why on television, on the lens, whatever the television lens does for this guy, he's a goofy, in my opinion, he's a goofy looking guy anyway. He looks like a doofus, but needless to say, whatever, your looks have nothing to do with who you are, but more or less, but I'm not saying he is a doofus just because he looks like one. He's a doofus because he's a doofus. But when you see this guy in real life, you know, face on, he looks pretty much like he does on television, with a few exceptions. He wasn't clean shaven. He had a baseball cap on. He just crawled out from under a sofa. But what surprised me, though, was the side view, the profile view. He's quite a portly chap. He doesn't look like he's in shape at all. Maybe he is, but he did not look like he was in shape at all. Now he's probably half my age. Maybe he's a little older than that. Maybe he's in his 40s. And I would take this guy on in a sprint race or in a long-term race. I would take this guy on climbing a ladder or going upstairs. Not that matters. I mean, Joe Biden, but I can do more push-ups than you can. But still, the guy just, you know, he just doesn't look like he's very healthy at all. And then there's the side view, folks. You would not recognize him from the side. His profile is very weird. Gavin Newsom, same way. If you saw this guy just from the side view, in person, you probably wouldn't recognize him. His weird nose, chin thing going on. There's just weird stuff there going on. And you don't notice it because of the television angle that you're always seeing. There are some news anchors the same way. They look one way straight on when you're looking at them. And then once in a while, they'll turn their head and look at the person, their co-anchors or whatever. And it's like, whoa, that is not the way that person looks straight on. Very, very weird that happens. But it's... That's the reality of it. That's the what you see on the screen, what is actually out there, which is much like the news itself. A lot of what we get, that's good, Chai. A lot of what we get, the news is what they portray, what they put on, and so we don't get the real picture, because what we see is just what they present on this little screen. And nowadays, most people see the screen, 90% of when they watch the screen. Most people don't watch television anymore. Very few people have TV antennas on their house. They don't put the antenna up there and get the local channels, digital channels. Most people do not. They have a phone or they have an iPad. But most people watch on a very small screen. And most of the time, those screens typically are put out there in 720p. They're not even 1080p, because it's a much, I know Facebook, I think, is all 720p still. You can put out some things in 4K. It takes a special membership or something. But typically content is pushed out in 720p only because most people look at it on a small screen. It doesn't, the 4K doesn't matter. If you got a big, huge screen, 4K starts to make a difference or even 1080p. But even 1080p, if you've got a normal size television, you can say it's a 42-inch flat screen or whatever you got, or even something bigger, a 50-inch, you really don't end up with that much better picture quality. Now, if you're looking at nature and you're looking at things that are like a scenic movie with lots of scenery and lots of things, it might make a difference. But it will not change the story. That's the whole thing. I think people kind of get wrapped up in is, oh, look how beautiful this is. Oh, look, oh, this is so much better picture. and it is more immersive. So you might get more connected into the story. You might get, you know, drawn in more because of the way it looks. But the story itself is really, you know, people will strain at a gnat and swallow a camel kind of thing. They'll look at that kind of thing, and then they'll watch some stupid show that's about some stupid, you know, has some stupid content in it that is, you know, it's like not even 720p content, but the video is at least, you know, 4K. But I think we've reached the saturation point of, okay, it's, you know, it's as good as it needs to get for now. Until you start getting into more of the, you know, the virtual types things where you're actually in the virtual world and you need that, then it becomes more about depth perception. The biggest, when I was involved in more of the training environment with the airlines, with pilots, one of the things I noticed right up front was the, when the first videos, the video, the back in the 90s, I guess late 90s, the graphics that you would see inside the simulator when you look out the window, it was fascinating because they were able to do everything in motion. You know, get to kind of see the motion, you kind of see things happen. But it was very flat. There was very little in terms of 3D processing that was going on. In other words, when you'd see a building, you'd just basically see the building. You wouldn't see, it always kind of looked like the same building as you were going past it. It didn't change in perspective. It didn't change in, and the things around it didn't change in perspective. Now, the kind of graphics that they have, especially in the military training, some of the graphics that they have on some of this stuff is unbelievable. You would think you were actually in the air. There are people who've crashed in simulators and actually had they'll monitor their heart rate, and it is as if they're actually going through the crash. Even all you do, you just get a red screen. It just stops and you get a red screen. But still, the fact that they've spun in or whatever's happened to them, they'll freak out, thinking it's so real. Now it does give you kind of a motion sickness thing when you're moving around in the sim, but even just taxiing, because it is kind of, you don't get the feel of the actual movement the same as the video. So there are some weird things there. Some people get physically sick inside the simulator because it's not, it bothers them that things are not moving the same way. They feel their body isn't moving the same way. I've had people that, literally sit there with a six sack, and they'll go through training, and they'll throw it three or four times per session per lesson, which is really sad. I mean, but they have to look down every time you move the sim, because you can slew the sim around. So you might say, okay, we're in this position, I'm going to put you over in this other runway, so they'll slew the thing over there, and it's just the graphics will freak your mental, you know, situational awareness out quite a bit, and so you have to kind of be careful with that stuff. Really affects some people. It doesn't affect me at all. I don't know why. I can see it. I can tell it's, this is kind of creepy. This is kind of weird, but it doesn't make me sick. Much like the news, makes me sick. Now, I don't know why Trump left the G7. I don't think we've ever heard about what was going on that was bigger than the thing between Iran and Israel. Again, the left is continuing the same playbook, and I've said this all week long. The playbook of Trump bad, impeach Trump. Now Jamie Raskin has come out with I think he's actually the one who's introduced the articles of impeachment, all having to do with, this is why this Trump thing is the victory of the National Guard in California. It's why it's such a big deal, because they were going to impeach him over this. You had Ilhan Omar come out. I'd like to find this clip because I want to analyze the way she talks. Ilhad, that's not, there we go. She was interviewed. Let's see if this is, and this she might be in this one. Yeah, this is okay. This is unfortunately, this is not. I'm gonna play this. She goes over this whole thing about. This is on the Rubin Report. I don't care for Rubin too much. Here we go. This is the one. This is the. Here we go.
To be coming out of our country. I mean, I grew up in
from
a
dictatorship. Somalia.
And I don't even remember ever witnessing anything like that. To have a democracy, a beacon of hope for the world to now be turned into one of the worst countries where the military are in our streets without any regard for people's constitutional rights, while our president is spending millions of dollars propping himself up like a failed dictator with a military parade, it is really
mostly
shocking, and it should be a wake-up call for all Americans to say this is not the country we were born in. This is not the country we believe in. This is not the country our founding fathers imagined, and this is not the country that is supported by our Constitution, our ideals, our values.
I want to go back over this because she says some very interesting things here, and the way she says it is what I want to get into. First of all, she says this is one of the worst countries. She grew up in a dictatorship, Somalia. She's claiming that the United States is worse than Somalia right now. This coming from a woman, an immigrant woman, who was, she came here on refugee status, by the way, who is now a congresswoman, speaking whatever she wants to say. She can say whatever she wants.
Some people did something.
And yet, saying this is one of the worst countries in the world because the military is in the streets doing a parade. But I didn't even see this in dictatorships. Well, you know, Somalia didn't really, they aren't known for their parades, first of all. Not real big on that. They are known for their civil war. And there's factions there that fight against each other all the time. They just, right now, they're kind of well balanced, but they're still there. If this is such a bad country, go back to where you came from. That's, of course, now when you start saying that kind of stuff, oh, it's racist. No, it's not. You don't like this country? Then get out. Go somewhere else. It's such a bad place. Oh, but you're going to stick around and make it better. Now, she says some things here. I want to kind of analyze. When she first starts talking here, she kind of talks normal. Then she kind of goes into this whole thing where you start hearing what she actually means and what she starts to talk about. So let's listen to this again, because I don't want to begrudge this too long, but it's very interesting.
To be coming out of our country, I mean, I grew now, up.
Listen to the out of our country. I grew up. Pay attention to how many times she, I call it stammers. It's not really a stutter. This isn't a stutter, Joe Biden. This is a stammer. Of the we. If you count how many times she does this, it's ridiculous. This is something she's trying to sound smarter than she is. A typical ploy when ignorant people try to sound intelligent. You'll see them do this much more often. It happens in normal conversation, in normal everyday conversation. It will happen. However, I probably do it a lot. I don't even pay attention. I probably do it more often than I realize. But especially on the show, because you're trying to form a thought, so you're trying to put something together. She does this constantly. And it's a very, for anybody who studies speech in terms of, you know, just doing voiceovers, like I said before, you become super hypersensitive to the way people talk. It's the way people present things. Just the way they present themselves with speech. And the presentation here is, it kind of freaks me out when I hear her talk. Now, she gets into later, because later on, I'm going to point something else out when she starts talking. And we're going to get into this a little bit more. But it becomes much more harsh. And we'll listen to this, listen to how it becomes. We did probably...
In a dictatorship.
In a dictatorship.
And I don't even remember ever witnessing anything like that.
Sure, she actually...
have a democracy.
There, right there. Now, she'll start doing this kind of stuff. She starts becoming very harsh with her. That's, you can say that's an accent. That's just her accent because of English isn't her first language, apparently. But when she starts getting really riled up and starts speaking off the cuff, this stuff starts to happen. And is a very hate-filled speech. When we start talking like that, a beacon of hope. She doesn't say beacon. She says pecan. She's spitting out the words. And it's a very crash, crass, I guess I should say. It's very, what's the word? Aggressive, a very abrasive. That's a better word. Abrasive kind of way of speaking. And she does it a lot, especially when she starts to loosen up and starts to wonder what she's going to say next.
A beacon of hope for the world to now be turned into one of the worst countries where the military are in our streets without any regard for people's constitutional rights, while our president is spending millions of dollars propping himself up like a failed dictator with a military parade. It is really shocking, and it should be a wake-up call for all Americans to say this is not the country we were born in. It's not
the country she was born in. She goes on to this whole thing, all of a sudden starts talking about the founding fathers and everything else about the Constitution. Understand, she hates this country. She hates the Constitution. She hates the founding fathers. All of a sudden, she's a lover of the founding fathers. Which one's your favorite, Ilhan? Can you tell us, who's your favorite founding father? Who do you look up to the most? Who do you have the most respect for? Let's hear that, rather than just spitting out this, our founding fathers. Maybe you should check and see who your founding fathers are.
Not the country we believe in. This is not the country our founding fathers imagined.
She was there, and she was in their heads. She knows exactly what they imagined and what they were, what they were all about.
This is not the country that is supported by our Constitution, our ideals, our values.
She hates our Constitution, our ideals, and our values. She is not about that. This is the kind of rhetoric they spit out to make themselves sound like, oh, they're so patriotic, and they're all about, they're all protection of our constitutional. Wrap yourself in a flag that you don't even have a flag pin on.
And we should all collectively be out in the streets rejecting what is taking place this week.
Should all be out in the streets collectively rejecting what is taking place this week. Really. That's what we should be doing. So now you're going to tell us what we should be doing because you're mama. You're one of our parents. We have to tell. So here we are. This is the kind of lame rhetoric we get, and of course there's no details. These people, what have they ever done in their lives that have shown them to be any kind of patriot? That they actually not a revolutionary patriot, but an actual supporter of our nation, who we are and what we are about, what the founding fathers were about, and what I'm talking about is individualism, the freedoms and liberties of the individual. All you hear about is collectivism. And it's wrapped in a Marxist package. And that's all you hear from them. They want us to continually give up our rights, give up our freedoms, for the sake of the government taking more and more, or taking more responsibility for our safety. That's not what this nation was founded on. It's a total antithesis of what we were founded on. And yet they would have us to believe that for the good of society, we must do this and do that. Trust me, I know. I've lived here for, 15 years, and I know all about it. She didn't study any of that in school. She came here after high school. She never went through a history class in this country, which you could say it's probably, I don't know. Well, I'm almost out of chai, so that means that the show is almost over. The I do want to say that as we go into the weekend, our nation is, again, polarized in so many ways. And we need to continue to find ways to communicate with each other that don't talk past each other, that don't... We need to make sure that we at least listen enough to understand and present our side, our views, with a modicum of respect for what the other person is thinking. But I mean, sometimes they don't want to hear it. As soon as you say anything, it is a... they just automatically are triggered and they just go off. And they put you in a box and they treat you very differently. There are numerous accounts of people, you know, on the street asking questions, and people think that they're on their side and just being interviewed, and then all of a sudden they realize the person's kind of an anti, and they turn immediately. It's just amazing. Folks, God bless. Have a great rest of your weekend. Shabbat Shalom. I will talk to you possibly Monday. See ya.